The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Phillies Talk Podcast, presented by Team Toyota. Corey Simon and Jim Salisbury here with you, coming off a crazy night for the Phillies, who dug a seven-run hole against the Cubs and then ended up winning 17-8 in one of the craziest games you'll see. There was a note from ESPN that the Phillies are the first team since at least 1990 to trail a game by at least 7 runs and win it by at least 9 runs. Jim, what did you think of that night from the Phillies?
It was one of the more wild and amazing nights I remember at Citizens Bank Park, or anywhere for that reason. And I've seen a lot of baseball. They looked dreadful in that third inning. They were walking batters. They were hitting batters. They were giving up hard hit balls. They were giving up, you know, laser beam home runs. The crowd was booing. The manager was pulling out pitchers left and right. He used 3 of them in that third inning. J.D. Hammer was booed lustily by the crowd. There was only 20,000 there, but it sounded like 120,000. They were so angry. And there was so much disappointment and anger in that ballpark. Even though, like I said, it was only 20,000 people there, it was amazing in that third inning. And, you know, obviously there was a lot going on. They had to use the bullpen, and that's a story in itself, a real sad commentary on the state of pitching in the organization and how they've developed and drafted and acquired pitching. But you know, in the small picture, they're in a pennant chase, a playoff chase, and my God, they're down 7-0 in the third inning. It's an awful situation. And then to come back there in the fourth inning against the Cubs' best pitcher, Kyle Hendricks, Cubs had a similar inning where they don't pick up the ball on defense. They walk people, they hit people, they give up big extra base hits, hard hit balls, and all of a sudden the Phillies have tied the game. So amazing swings of emotion. An amazing show of resilience by the Phillies to be down 7-0 on a night where you're pitching the bullpen. That's demoralizing enough that you have to go with the bullpen, that you don't have enough starters. But to dig it in and come back against Kyle Hendricks and then, you know, keep tagging on runs like an onslaught and win that game. One of the most important wins, one of the most wild wins, one of the best wins of the season. And another chapter in the Bryce Harper show. I think every MVP, or I should say most MVPs have like a signature game or two when they just transcend everything, where they often put a team on their back and carry them. I mean, I think that's the definition of MVP, but there's always that 1, 2, or 3 games that just rise above everything else and stand out in that MVP quest. And that might've been the game for Harper. It's been that way the entire second half, but you know, he gets 2 walks, he gets 2 doubles, a 3-run home run, and really electrifies the crowd. I thought helped lead that win, both in terms of production and the emotion and energy and electricity that he provided and gave the team, and I think the team fed off. So that might be one of the moments that sticks out in voters' minds. Joe Girardi basically after the game came out and said he thinks he deserves the award. Harper said that he doesn't pay attention to the numbers, but I'll tell you what, the numbers are very, very impressive here in the second half and very impressive when you stack him up in Major League Baseball and the National League on the whole.
Jim, since August 20th, a span of 25 games, Bryce Harper's hitting .404 with a .509 on base percentage and an .888 slugging percentage. And in those 25 games, he has 21 extra base hits. And now you sit here, you look at the National League leaderboards on the 17th of September as the Phillies have 16 games left. Harper ranks second in the National League in batting average. Second. There's only one guy in the NL with a higher batting average, and that's Trey Turner. Harper ranks second in on base, second in slugging, leads the majors in OPS. He's second in doubles, fourth in home runs, fourth in runs. So really the only category where he's not toward the top of the National League leaderboards is RBIs. And that's obviously not all his doing. You know, that a lot of that has to do with the guys who are or are not getting on base in front of you. And I know we talked about this earlier in the week, and we mentioned that there were, you know, other candidates, guys like Fernando Tatis, maybe Freeman and Riley on the Braves. But when you put together all of these numbers and you look at what Harper has done, especially down the stretch, I don't see how it could not be him as we sit here today. I mean, if the season were to end today, I don't see how it could not be him, especially when you factor in that Tatis, who's probably next in line, his team has stunk for a month. It's not like they're in a much better position than the Phillies.
No, and I'm looking at some numbers as well. 70 extra base hits to lead the National League. Just, and that OPS leads the majors. You don't see why it wouldn't be him right now, but there are, I have to remind you, there are 16 games left. And, you know, the object of this game is to win and to get your team to the postseason and take your chances in October and, you know, try to make a run. The voting is based on the regular season, but the Phillies have 16 games remaining in the regular season. And while I will, you know, definitely agree with you that he might be the front runner here. It might be his award to lose. I still think he needs a finishing kick here because his team needs him. His team needs him to continue to be that guy that carries them. It's that's just the way it is. I mean, Rhys Hoskins is out. That's a big bat. JT Realmuto's had all these nagging injuries, including another one there on Thursday night. Bryce Harper needs to keep it up. And he knows that. He talked about that after the game, that, you know, the season's not over. He needs to continue to play well. Team needs to continue to play well. And that's the right frame of mind. He's not focused on the MVP. He's focused on the playoffs. And that's the way it should be, because if you focus on the playoffs and focus on playing well, then something like the MVP will take care of itself. It's like, you know, it's like a hitter. You don't go up there looking to hit a home run. You look to go up there to hit the ball hard somewhere. And if you catch it just right, it becomes a home run. In that regard, it's very similar to, you know, hitting a home run. A hitter doesn't go up there trying to hit a home run, or shouldn't go up there trying to hit a home run. He should go up there looking to get a good pitch and hit the ball hard somewhere. And if you hit the ball hard somewhere and catch it just right, it might go over the wall for a home run. But focus has to be on a good swing and good hard contact. And it's the same thing in the MVP race. Focus on playing good. Focus on helping your team win. And if those things happen, MVP talk, MVP race takes care of itself.
Well, you know, one of the determining factors in whether the Phillies win and make the playoffs or not is going to be how they fare in these bullpen games, which you mentioned a little bit earlier. They have, what, three left here, Jim?
Yes. By my calculations, three left. They've had three and they have three left. And there's a lot there. It tells you how bad this division is, that a team with this kind of bullpen, and we're not talking Tampa Bay here, that a team with this kind of bullpen can even think of surviving. Having six bullpen starts over the final months of the season tells you how thin they are in starting pitching depth, and that is just a sad commentary on the state of things in the franchise, state of their drafting, developing, and acquiring of pitching. Pitching is the number one commodity in the game, and the Phillies have just done a very, very poor job getting enough of it. So they've really struggled in two of these bullpen games. They got by with the first one, did pretty well. I asked Girardi after Thursday night's game, when, you know, the first four guys out of the bullpen just were lit up, basically. Bedrosian didn't pitch badly, I shouldn't say, but it was mostly Matt Moore and, you know, J.D. Hammer that really got leaned on. I asked him if there's a chance that he might reconsider on Tuesday night when they would have to use the bullpen again. And we've talked about this before. Joe doesn't always tip his hand. He very seldom tips his hand, doesn't always let you know what he's thinking. But I thought he hinted at, yeah, he could look to reconsider. And the guy that finished last night's game, Adonis Medina, is stretched out as a starter at AAA. Maybe they reconsider this bullpen thing and try to use a guy like Medina out of the gate. Tuesday night against Baltimore and say, you know, go as long as you're effective and hope that he can give you some innings just so they can, you know, eliminate these kind of quick one inning guys from the early part of the game. I think it would still stack up as predominantly or significantly a bullpen game, depending on what whoever starts could give you, probably Medina. But it might be something they have to consider. He didn't commit to it. It said there's a lot to think about there, but just the fact that he admitted that, quote, they need to figure something out in that spot tells you that the wheels are turning and they see what we see. It hasn't worked.
At Team Toyota, now's the chance to build your next new Toyota exactly how you want it. So get the process started and reserve yours today. Or find a certified used Toyota or budget-friendly used car of any make. And if you're looking to keep your current vehicle safely on the road, they have a fast, friendly, and efficient service center. Need to fix that dent or make that bumper repair? Their collision center can restore your car back to like-new condition. Or take your current vehicle to the next level with custom accessories like new rims, tints, and more. Just visit teamtoyota.net for more info. What will be the downside in changing that fifth spot to Adonis Medina, at least for one start, to see what he's got? I mean, even if he were to give up four runs in four innings or something like that, that's what the bullpen's been doing anyway.
Right. I don't see any downside. What if he doesn't get out of the first inning? You know, what if he doesn't get out of the second inning? That's what you've been getting anyway. So, you know, give it a shot. I'd say give it a shot. Maybe show the kid a little faith. I guess the other option, maybe a Bailey Falter, but he's just not as stretched out. I mean, he was a starter at AAA this year, but he's just not as stretched out. Had that bout with COVID and set him back. But they really, I think they need to adjust something. I think they need to adjust something even symbolically and for the message it sends to your everyday, you know, players, your position guys, your lineup, your guys in that clubhouse, that we recognize this hasn't worked. We recognize your, you know, you're doing everything you can do to stay in this, and you're battling back from seven-run deficits. We're going to try to do something else to give you a more of a chance to stay in that game.
Yeah, talking about doing everything you can to stay in this, that kind of describes JT Realmuto's second half. He's doing everything he can to stay on the field as the injuries pile up. I mean, it's a real laundry list for Realmuto this season, as you wrote about at NBCSportsPhiladelphia.com. So tell us about this latest injury that he may have suffered Thursday night.
Yeah, just a bunch of nagging ones all year long. And they, like you said, they stack up and they become very difficult to handle, and they really sap your production. He was hit on the left elbow in that big inning the Phillies had. Was it the fourth inning? When they batted around, they sent like 12 men to the plate. I mean, Harper started it and had with that double, and then he had that walk. And JT Realmuto actually – for the second night in a row has a big run scoring hit after Harper drew a walk. So that's really key protection that they've been looking for in that four hole behind Harper. You know, they walk Harper, make him pay it. And Realmuto has done that two nights in a row. Unfortunately, earlier in that inning, he took a pitch off the elbow tricep area on his left arm, and he experienced swelling. He had to leave the game late. Had an x-ray, it was negative, but he was not available for any comment after the game because he was packed in ice in the training room. They were treating it before they get on the buses to go to New York, and I'm sure they treated it all night probably, and they're going to do so again today. So Joe Girardi said it's a game-time decision, or he'll know more when he gets to the ballpark today whether he has Realmuto Friday night in New York. I mean, it would be a big loss. I know he hasn't had the season anybody hoped for, especially him, but he's had a lot of injuries. And, you know, he has swung it well. A couple three-hit games lately. He's made the Cubs pay when they walk Harper lately. He's got a big home run. He's swung a productive bat, just what they really need in that four-hole. And had that cortisone injection or anti-inflammatory injection on Sunday. And that stuff can work for a while and really get you going. It looked like he was getting going. That right shoulder where he had the injection was feeling better. And all of a sudden now he's got a problem with his left elbow. Added to the list, broken right thumb. He had that deep bone bruise on the heel of his catching hand where the lower part of the hand is exposed underneath the catcher's mitt. Deep bone bruise there that required him to go on the IL. And he recently throughout the second half has had the shoulder issue. Now the elbow, man, he takes a licking and keeps on ticking. He's a tough, tough guy. And I'm sure he'll do everything to get on the field Friday night. If he's not on the field Friday night, you can guarantee this, that thing is hurting and he can't go because he wants to be out there in a pennant race, a playoff race, and he's a tough guy. He really is a tough guy who's taken a beating this year.
All those injuries that you referenced, plus there was also a game where he took foul balls to the mask twice in the same at bat, and then when he came back, took another foul ball to the mask. So, I mean, he has been through a ton this season, injuries in the field, just freak injuries that he's dealt with. But, yeah, the Phillies need JT Realmuto because even if he was cold there for about a month or 5 weeks or whatever, you know, that doesn't mean that he's going to be cold over these final 2 weeks. And as you said, he's had a couple of good games here lately. And if you remove that bat from the lineup, you have even less protection for Harper. Protection has been an issue really since Rhys Hoskins went down. Everybody hit on Thursday in the 17-8 win. I mean, you had guys like McCutchen hitting and Didi Gregorius hitting. And Didi's just still so important to this whole thing because he hasn't gotten going at all this season. He's another guy who's been marred by injury. He's dealing with pseudogout as he has all year. And he thinks it's really sapped his effectiveness both at the plate and in the field. But man, these final 2 weeks for Didi are just so big in terms of the Phillies positioning in the playoff race and also just figuring out, like, what the hell do you do with him next year?
Yeah, all the pieces matter, as the great Lester Freeman said in The Wire. Every piece in that lineup, you lose Realmuto, that affects so much. It affects the playoff chase. It affects Harper's protection. It affects Harper's productivity. It could affect the MVP race. Not that that's the most important thing, but you mentioned Didi. Well, I don't know what they do with him next year. He's had a poor year. It's come at a time where he's north of 30 now. When that happens, you don't know if it's a down year and they're back and they're going to bounce back, or it's a sign of a serious decline. But he has not looked good. He's had that bad elbow, but I think his hands look really hard in the field. His hands do not look good. He's booted a lot of balls. He throws everything flat-footed, which doesn't help his performance in the field. I don't know anything to be wrong with his legs. I don't know why he doesn't use his legs to throw more. That would ease pressure on that right elbow, which has given him problems all year. So I don't know if he's a candidate for a bounce back season or this is a sign of a decline, but I do know they have him next year at $14 million. I do know that it's going to be very, if you want to win, it's going to be tough to put him back out at shortstop with the poor defense he's played. That's a fact. I mean, you've gotten poor defense from Alec Bohm when he was there at third base. Left side defense, left side offensive production, both an issue. Left field an issue going forward with McCutchen's contract running out. And, just his overall ability to hit right-handers. Odubel Herrera has been Odubel Herrera up and down. So there's four spots that I think you really need to dig into in the offseason. But in the short term, Didi had a big, big two-run double in that uprising on that seven-run inning on Thursday night. I believe he might have put him ahead. I don't know. I have to go back and look. It's all a blur. But I know he had a big hit, and that was good to see. They need some contributions here in the final 16 games. They need some contributions from some surprise guys other than Bryce Harper. It would be great if Didi had his best 16 games of the season. It would be great if Realmuto could roll off the trainer's table and have, 16 really great games, right? Freddie Galvis is hit for some pop at third base, giving him, as Torres has tailed off, giving him a little bit of pop over there. It would be great if Odubel could go on a bit of a tear and McCutchen could finish strong. They're going to need those types of performances. And on top of it all, they're going to need to pitch. They're going to need Aaron Nola to pitch well down the stretch. I get the whole bullpen game thing and the whole opener and just, sort of like small ball your way to 27 outs. I get it when you have the personnel in that bullpen but they don't have the personnel. So that makes these bullpen games very, very difficult to swallow. The good news is as you go to New York, you're going with Wheeler, Nola, Gibson. They all need to deliver because the Mets would love to mess up the Phillies season starting Friday night. The Mets would love to zoom past the Phillies in the standings and screw up the Phillies playoff chances. And it's up to Wheeler tonight to go out there like the biggest, baddest ass in town and say, this ain't happening. I'm getting us off to a good start tonight. And then Nola's got to get over the September one-inning batting stuff, pitch well Saturday. And then Gibson's got to get over three tough ones in a row and pitch good Sunday. And then you need to continue it for 13 more games. So it's really interesting. And I find it interesting and entertaining down the stretch. As ugly as that game was in a lot of ways Thursday night, it was entertaining. You know, they got a chance. It's not a perfect race. It's an ugly race. But that's where they are. And we'll see if they can get those surprise performances down the stretch to deliver them to the postseason or winning season for the first time in a decade.
Would it qualify as a surprise performance if Aaron Nola pitches well in his final couple starts here? Because, I mean, he has just been it's been tough to watch this again in September from Nola, that it just – he has these starts where he's great for a couple innings, then he falls apart in the middle innings. And, you know, Saturday night's another big test for him. This past Sunday, he had a chance to get the Phillies to a split against the Rockies in that four-game home series. And again, he just fell apart, giving up that 0-2 home run to Garrett Hampson, which opened the floodgates for the Rockies, who went on to win that game. But looking ahead at this Mets series, you have Nola going Saturday night. The Mets have lost 7 of their last 10. They enter the series 2.5 games behind the Phillies. But Nola and Kyle Gibson behind him on Sunday haven't exactly inspired much confidence the way they've pitched here in September.
No, they haven't. And this is the time where veteran players need to inspire confidence. They need to have their best play of the season. September, playoff chase. I mean, Bryce Harper's doing it. Real Muto's done it the last 3 games. It's just a shame that he's banged up. The Nola thing remains a head scratcher. The one bad inning thing remains a head scratcher. Actually, it's not so much a head scratcher. You make mistakes over the plate. I mean, he doesn't have, you know, Randy Johnson in his prime stuff, Schilling in his prime stuff, Smoltz in his prime stuff, Verlander in his prime stuff, Scherzer stuff. You know, Aaron Nola is all pitcher. He's got to change speeds. He's got to locate. I mean, he's got very good stuff. It can be electric and sharp. Swing and miss and strikeout stuff, but he's still at heart is a pitcher through and through. He's got to locate and change speeds. And he's got to do that over these final, what has he got? Five? I guess he's got 3 starts left. He's got to do it. It's got to start Saturday night in New York. You asked if it would be a surprise if he pitched well. We all know it's in there. I think we all know it's in there, but it's just not been consistent enough throughout this season. Been, thank goodness they're in the National League East, where it remains wide open just because everybody's performed so poorly and it's just an inconsistent division that no one's taken control of. It reminds me of an old Gordon Lightfoot song called Race Among the Ruins. Race Among the Ruins. That's what this National League race is. It's a race among the ruins. So when this podcast is over, you can queue up old Gordon Lightfoot song, Race Among the Ruins.
Sorry, you're ready to go on YouTube. All right, so here go the Phillies. Zach Wheeler against Taijuan Walker on Friday night. The Phillies have 5 series left. The Mets, Orioles, Pirates, and then road series to end the year against the Braves and the Marlins. That Braves series, second to last series of the season, man, I mean, the Phillies are 3 games back as we sit here on Friday. And as long as they're somewhere between, you know, 3 and 4 games back, they're still going to feel like they have a shot there in the final week.
Well, they should. You should feel like you have a shot. You're not out of it till you're out of it. The Braves certainly haven't lit it up to run away with this thing. They've sort of done just enough to stay there, and the Phillies have cooperated just enough to not catch them. But, you know, this thing, I hate to even look ahead to that final week, which is loaded with potential landmines. I mean, Atlanta and then Miami. We know how they struggle in Miami. The Mets are going to be ready to play this Phillies team tonight, I have a feeling. And the Phillies, Zach Wheeler really needs to make a statement in that first few innings that, sorry, you ain't beating us tonight. You know, you hate to put it on him like that, but that's what he gets paid the big bucks for. That's what he's an all-star for. It's probably what he's craved. That's why he wanted to pitch in pennant races and be the guy in Philadelphia. So tonight you have to be the guy. And he's been the guy all season. He's had a great year, and he needs to continue down the stretch. So he needs to get the series off to a good start. You need to have a good series. You can't get overtaken by the Mets. And then you need to come home, and you need to absolutely just put the Orioles and the Pittsburgh Pirates through the wood chipper. I am sorry. You need to put them through the wood chipper. And that's not always easy when you play these teams that are, you know, 30 games under 500 and playing for nothing. because they're loose. They got young guys in the lineup, and you know there's no pressure on them. And sometimes they're very those teams are very tough to beat down the stretch. But the Phillies themselves have to remain loose and really get after the Orioles and the Pirates in their final homestand, because that could really, I don't know if it can, you know, make you a good homestand against those two teams, because you know you still have to deal with the other variable, what's happening in Atlanta. But it certainly could break you if you play poorly against those clubs. So it's just a huge 16-game stretch here for the Phillies.
Yeah, those Orioles and Pirates teams, they have the second and third worst records in all of baseball. The Orioles already have 99 losses here with, you know, more than 2 weeks to go. So no excuses not to clean up in those series. And meanwhile, the Braves have an 11-game road trip, an 11-game West Coast trip that they begin Friday night in San Francisco. They have three in San Fran, four in Arizona, and then 3.5 games in San Diego, where one of them is the resumption of a suspended game that was earlier in the season in Atlanta. The Braves are trailing that game by one run in the middle innings.
And, you know, that San Francisco series is going to be tough, because the Giants, they still have a lot to play for, though they had a big champagne celebration the other night for just clinching the postseason, which in itself is an accomplishment. But I think you kind of got to keep those things in check, because your real goal is the division. I mean, you don't want to end up in that wild card game. So they're still in a dogfight. They're playing they're giving you everything they got, those San Francisco Giants right now. And that, you know, that bodes well for the Phillies, because they're going to be playing the Braves. So, you know, maybe the Phillies can get some help from their old friend, brother Gabe Kapler, as he rolls his way into October and the well-deserved National League Manager of the Year award.
How good of a season have the Giants had? So good that they would need to finish with a losing record the rest of the way, not to reach 102 wins, the most that the Phillies have ever had in franchise history. So that kind of tells you the dominant season that they've had without really making a ton of headlines, but the Giants just keep on winning. And hopefully from a Phillies perspective, they win this weekend against the Braves. That's going to do it for this Phillies Talk podcast. He's Jim. I'm Corey. Talk to you early next week.